Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, 15, I'll quote again. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now look to John's Gospel for a verse. Fourth Gospel in chapter 14. John's Gospel in chapter 14. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One more reading, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Thus God will give a little help by his gracious Spirit to conclude the meeting with what we have heard. I've just three words in my mind, very simple, very basic, and I hope they might be registered in your mind if you're not forgetting. Three words. I want to think of the word rescue. The word saved or deliver or rescue, they're all the same, come from the same root. They just mean the same thing. You can deliver, you can rescue, you can save. It's all the same. I want to think of the word rescue, found in 1 Timothy 1:15. I want to think of another word, the word receive, found in John 14. And finally, the word reign, that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They're all to do with Christ. And I want you to think of it that way, because 1 Timothy 1 and 15 is one of the greatest texts in our Bible. John 3:16, 25 words, and 1 Timothy chapter 1:15 has 25 words. They're two tremendous, much-used, blessed texts from our Bible. You could have come into this meeting tonight, and you could leave absolutely assured that I've been rescued by the hand of Christ, that my soul is saved, that my sins are gone, that my destiny is sure, that my passport, I have it absolutely and assured of it, for heaven's fair bliss, to enter the pearl-hung gates, to be with Christ forever. You could come into this meeting out of Christ. You could leave saved and rescued. We would love that. And God would love that. The word receive has to do with Christ coming. He has come to rescue. He is coming to receive those that he did rescue. We are living in what you call momentous times. I love these days. People say, well, I like to live in the old days. Well, if that's the way they think, they've got that option of thinking. I'm glad I'm living today. Love it. Appreciate it. Love the air I breathe. Oh, I know the world's in a mess. But I love this day. You know why? We're waiting for the reception to glory. We're very near to it. The Lord's promise will be fulfilled. I will come again. And he uses the word, and receive you unto myself. We want to look at that word. I'm glad I'm waiting for that moment. The brightest and the best. It will seem as if eternal days are far too short to sound his praise. He's coming to receive. But thank God, amidst a world that people are almost dumbfounded, they're almost at wit's end corner. They hardly know where to turn in the financial markets. And I don't know much about the stock markets, but when I see in the papers, I'm glad I have no stocks. But my friend, I'll tell you something now. The day is coming when everything of this world will be put under the feet of the man
to whom it belongs, by right and by redemption.
As God says, he must lead him. I want to get the word that we have here, rescued. I like this word, because I was rescued. Anyone that's saved understands this word, by the way. Like, we're not mystified by it. We understand that those who were saved, yes, immediately while we were preaching, while our brother was preaching, I was hurrying back in my mind. I said, yes, I remember when I was rescued, or saved, or born again, or put in God's family. It's clear, it's simple, it's plain. I can't forget it. Years that passed, my first birthday, I don't like to think of it, Brent. It seems a long time since I came into the world. Well, I might as well tell you, 61 years. But the day I got saved was 41 years ago, and it seems it's just over my shoulder. It seems it just, I don't have to go back and say, oh, what happened? It's just right beside me, my friend. I said, but it happened yesterday when I come into saving vital contact with Christ, and I was rescued. You know, this text, 25 words, has been blazed across our world, tremendously used. It has reached into prison cells. It has reached into the palace of the king. It has reached into the high offices of our land. It has reached the professors in university. And it could reach you tonight. I've often wondered, if I was in a dying bed, what text would I use if I'd only 40 seconds left, and the man's dying or the woman's dying, what will I pour into their ears? And I know what some of you are saying, oh, John 3:16, very good, I'd almost attempt it. Will I pour into their ears? Listen, are you listening? Dying, saying, are you listening? Christ Jesus, the name of the word. Oh, I love that text. Because it tells me of the greatest rescue mission that ever took place in our world. You can read Reader's Digest all you want. Drama in real life. I read it too. I don't know why it's all true, but I read it. But anyway, we'll swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And yet, my friend, the Bible will give us the greatest rescue that ever took place. Christ Jesus came into our world. For my friend, there was a world that was perishing, a world that was lost, a world that was in sin, a world that was rebellious, a world that was antagonistic toward God, a world that was indeed one day there stepped, my friend, the greatest person in all the universe of God, friend, wrapped in swaddling bands and led in a manger. The God of heaven came down to our world. Oh, some people say, don't get excited. I get always excited about that. Why not be excited, friend? Why not be enthused that 2,000 years ago, stepping from the sapphire throne of glory down to the womb of the Virgin, born in Bethlehem, there came the Savior, Christ Jesus. My friend, if you don't know this person, you've missed everything that God ever designed for you. Into our world. You know, this Bible that I'm reading from, the King James text, probably was based, and I'm not theological here, bear with me in my mistakes, but this text that we use, King James, generally speaking, has a background of a Greek Testament. Very near to the Stephen's Greek, before around the 15-odd, near to the 16th, or the Erasmus, keep the word in your mind, the Erasmus New Greek Testament. It's almost what we have here in English. Amazing thing happened from Greece, the great uprising that took place. Men fled from the authorities, from the powers that were pushing and coming in. And among that crowd there was come a man called Erasmus. He was known to be one of the most brilliant Greek scholars the world ever knew. And he came to England and he looked for the universities.
I was engaged in the great universities of London.
And he didn't know what to do with his time. He wanted to be wealthy and he wanted to be something in our world. So what he did, friend,
he translated the Testament, a New Testament, into the Greek language.
Now let me tell you, as a human,
he believed in college, not parable.
But he brought out a testament
called the Erasmus Greek Testament. He thought it was used beneath the right eye and twirled at the background of it.
That New Testament in Greek
absolutely caused a revival in the top universities of England.
And one day there was a man called Blinney, or Blimey, whatever way you want to say it.
And he thought he was a Roman Catholic background, very devout, but he thought he was a Judas of his day. He thought God had forsaken him.
He thought there was never any help for him. He was too far away from God. His sins were too black. The distance was too great. And he thought he was just on the black heap of humanity, and a Judas, an apostate. One day, standing in the court of the university, he thought within himself, I'm going to read Erasmus' New Testament.
And he went back and he got one of the big volumes and he put it in the folds of his gown.
Walking through the courtyard,
he stood there and he started to read.
That great
man with his intelligence, he started to read in all his desperation, thinking God had forsaken him. And he comes to this soul filler, life giving, heaven sent text.
And he read,
this is a faithful day and worthy of all expectation
that Christ Jesus came into the world
to save sinners. And he finished, and Paul says of whom I am chief.
He said, the chief of sinners is saved through the truth of this text. I am the second. And trust his strength to the foot of reading the truth a lot of people.
He was so thrilled that he wanted to spread the news.
And he didn't want to take it first. So he went to the great,
what we would call him over here, the tavern, same place, you wouldn't have found there.
But he thought, I'm going to tell the professors what I found, what they didn't teach in the university when they sat with the students. You would gather around in those big, sophisticated taverns and would talk things over.
Into that tavern one day, this man Blaney went with his newfound joy holding an Erasmus New Testament.
And he opened up his
page at 1 Timothy 1:16.
And he preached to those professors with all their giant intellect.
What happened? It caught fire. And the top seats in the university, men were swept into the kingdom of God.
Sinners were saved. Professors were made to feel their lostness.
And they turned to Christ.
Oh, I love this text.
He came to rescue
sinners from their lostness,
from their guilt, from their sin.
That's what church can't do for you. Baptism can't do it.
Signing a card can't do it. Giving your heart to Jesus couldn't do it.
That's what we love to see happen to you tonight. I went home to Ireland. Every time I go home, I try to pick up my old friends, you know, that don't like to see you come. You know, you're kind of a bother to them, you know, but I didn't mind being a bother. And I went home about 10 years ago, and this man came out, I got to the very third, got to the skate, the place where I used to play soccer, and run with the boys. And I went all around the boys again, and I said to them, look,
I did a conference.
Then I preached down in your own area. And Big Jim McCone said to me,
"Well, Albert, look, you come every time you do. No, it's kind of looking at your touch." Well, he says, "You know, you are persistent." He says, "I'm going here."
And you know, 13 of them come. Well, you could preach in the back of the handbook.
13 of them.
And one little son will never forget him.
God saved him miraculously. He was rescued. He'll never forget him. He wasn't educated. Brought up rough.
And I went to the door, and I knocked the door, and everything stopped. Then finally, I come, the dear lady. And she went, "Oh," she said, "Albert,
long time, and she gave me a big hug."
"Long time, and I used to dance with her." And she said that. I said, what's bother?"
She said, "Look at her. She's right up to her.
Show your car."
She said, "Go on."
Yeah. I said, "Before I go up match, just one thing. When you come to the tent meeting, you said if Bobby goes, I definitely do." Thanks, that's all I want. I walked up.
Amen.
Oh, he was cranky. And I went in there, he's sitting on the bed. "What are you doing here, Albert?" He said, "You think I'm going to go to the means?" I says, "Listen, Bob,
I've got this with you every day. And you can take that each can fulfill one favor. And I said, "Before I tell you, your wife, Mag, said she would come a few times."
I said, "Yes. My wife? The tent will come down if she walks in." "Well, I said, let her come.
Down. Yes, come to the tent.
I don't care."
And you know, I never forget him coming.
Listen, I'll tell you, I saw a boy, and what he told me in that house was dead, falling field before he ever came. He said, "I belong to the terrorist movement. I'm just back from a 3-year hiding." But I'd have done my job. I pulled the cat and took her out and shoot in cold weather. I'm going to encourage you tonight, keep up the show. Keep popping in the world. What he told me, he said, "When I'm down the dark alley,
heading to get my man,"
he said, "coming back in my ears was what I heard in the little gospel call. Going to Sunday school." And he said, "I couldn't do it." He said, "I knew what they would do. It happened. We need it happen. You don't know better than tell you after." So he said, "I fled to England. I was there for years. And he said, "I did come back."
Never forget as a preach the gospel.
And he's sitting there with his wife. Didn't have to ask him that. He walked up and made a mess.
Oh, I tell you, through my heart, didn't get saved in that. And that chair, the toast of the meetings. I went to see him before I got on the plane at the airport and made a special with him. He looked at me and he says, "Please, Alfred, pray for me. I want to have what you have, whatever it is. It's real, and I need it, and I'm lost, and I want it."
What did you say? You really want that, don't you?
I got a letter and I often say, "Excuse me for exaggeration, sir."
Getting a lot of practical letters. I thought it was reading a letter from their pastor.
I got a letter in 2 weeks.
By his own hand, 90 he was on uneducated. Write that letter.
And as he wrote down, I don't know where he got the language, I don't know where he got the words, but I tell you, I was preaching it. And my wife beside me, the next time he broke down, he couldn't say it.
He said, "You'll be happy and thrilled, Albert, that the one you trusted so many years ago, the Lord Jesus, if I got to understand in my little room that I lost so many rooms in it, he died. Then he took off."
And then he put a wee note at the bottom.
"P.S. You'll be happy to know my wife got saved."
And
tell you, friend, this is the rescue mission.
Christ Jesus came into our world to save, to rescue sinners. Also, someone, I'm not a sinner. Friend, you're no candidate for heaven. You'll never make it through the Perlham Dip. You'll never walk the golden street. If you're no sinner, friend, Christ didn't die for you. There's no provision for you. If you're not a sinner, the Lord Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, the righteous, the just righteous sinners.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save,
to rescue sinners. I picked up an old book recently. These Newfoundland stories are quite interesting. And I picked it up and I was reading it in my house, and a Newfoundland sister was in the house. She said, what do you love that? I never saw it before. And she took it and hugged it to herself. She said, I love Newfoundland stories. But I should say, just pick it up. I thought it was very helpful.
And that boat went out of the sailing boat into the water to hit it. And it fell. And the sea was in a boiling cauldron. The lost of sails.
But in that boat,
a crew of flies was a big youth on that rock. It was born at sea. That the boat. Nice cool little oak. The name of the dog was Storm. And as that boat's plowing through, the billows rising up and going down, seems like almost all hope was gone. They mounted a crest. That's where their amazement was coming down. They saw a little fishing smack. Anchored with a man and boat. Just food to the element. And that's your thought. And you couldn't do anything. You hope smack right in the top. And into that water there was a man, floundering on the mighty wave. The captain of that vessel, that fishing vessel, applied. The dog just anxiously waiting for that moment of a signal. He says, go get him, boy. That big Newfoundland dog jumped the deck into that pounding water. And if they tried to keep the boat as best they can, just rolling with the wave, that dog, with all its uncanny instinct, moved around and was finally grabbed an anchor. In that tense moment, in that storm, in the fury of it, Alan, the captain of the ship, his dog, looking at the dog of his, he listened carefully. And he heard the whining of the dog.
He looked over, amidst the waves bounding back and forward, and there was the big dog holding him on. Yes. I thought, 1 Timothy tells me of the need of a rescue. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells me the cost of a rescue. But I'm thankful that 1 Timothy 1:15 tells me the miracle. My friend, the need of a rescue was just like a new oyster we have gone on to tempest, wild and bare, far from love and life. We're moving at rapid pace every day, every tick of the clock, every year, every decade. We're getting near to the shores of an endless, ceaseless eternity. We're going to go over one day. We're not here to stay. This is only a stopping place, like a train station, friend. We're moving out, we're moving on, we're making our exit, we're going to go. Every one of us in this meeting, from this dear gentleman at the front to the one at the back, friend, we're moving out. And where are you going to spend eternity? When life's little journey is over, and you take your last breath, and you move out from this old bed, you need to be rescued, friend.
That's why we're preaching this text.
This is saying it's worthy, reliable.
That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saw the need of man to be rescued. He saw the world in turmoil, at a distance from God. He saw them in their plight, in their sin, in their problem. Stepping into our world.
He didn't turn it into weeds, but he turned it into the wrath of God at Calvary. And it cost him his death, and it cost him his precious blood. Upon dark Golgotha, friend, Christ Jesus died to rescue man and to save him.
Are you saved tonight? Do you remember? You know, I never forget my dear dad, you know. We were going out for a walk near the Lagans River, Belfast, outside of Belfast, with seven of us children. And you know what it's like? I was a wee bit mischievous. I don't know who said that, but whether it was true or not, I don't know. Don't think I was like that. But anyway, I got on ahead of the rest of them.
I think my brother Johnson and I, we were kicking leaves and running here and jumping over here, having a good time. And suddenly, I noticed it was a big tree lying over the Lagan River. It had come down in the storm and was lying out over the river.
And my foolish little mind, of course, I couldn't swim a foot. I thought, I'm going to go out that, you know, just for fun. And I walked out the trunk and landed away out into the next tree. And then the next thing I lost my foot. I was sprawling around and spitting. Blowing bubbles if you want. I was calling, help me, please! Save me! Never forget it. Seems like yesterday, I felt a hand. My father saw the plate. He ran out that trunk and quickly put his hand in pocket of the man. I'll tell you the miracle. Not the hand of my earthly father. The pierced hand of a man.
41 years ago, friend, blessed be his name. You see it now. Blessed be his name.
Never forget it. I don't know how people forget.
When they got saved. When they were rescued.
Do you remember?
When it happened. How it happened. And where it happened. I was preaching in Hartford, an old man, 96.
The old fellow had you to preach in any meeting. Just was beaming with it up.
And I said, you know, this business of people not sure, not knowing, and so like put on the spot, are you saved? When did it happen? How did it seem to draw back and the feel? I said, you know, anyone that's going to heaven can tell you how, when, and where. And the man got up to come up to the platform to tell me. He couldn't keep me in the seat. He was making his way up beside me. And he was looking at a big beaming face. Just give me a few moments and I'll tell him. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, it's great to be saved. Sure of heaven!
I think you were already there. It cost him. It cost his death. It cost his precious blood. You know the miracle of it? You know, every other miracle takes 7 days to live.
Took a miracle to put the sun in space and all that. But listen, the greatest miracle that I can ever... I'm looking at a miracle audience. Most of them here are miracles. Every one of them. Miracles.
Sin's gone. Heaven your home. Christ your Savior. Death's kind of thing.
Miracle. You could say it tonight, you know what you said? I know what he meant when he said it's a miracle. But it's a miracle.
You got saved tonight, friend. Listen, your fortune's made for eternity.
Absolutely.
Christ Jesus came into the world.
And Paul says, of whom I am chief. I didn't get very far. One text. That's all I wanted. I only read the other two for refuges.
But anyway, I just got the one here, and I'll just leave it with you. I hope you'll be able to quote it tonight.
Or if I do.
You listen? This is a fearful thing. Reliable, fearful. Worthy of all acceptation. My friend, God says it. Trust in us. Worthy of your acceptation.
That Christ Jesus
here
into the world.
She is saying.
Seems to me if Paul wrote this reduction, when that's the way it. When they must have got to that point when he was telling them to enslave it in the skin. He must have said, Paul was just got to that moment. I just wonder what. And I could see him say, just add this little expression. Christ Jesus can enter the world and say, can just put it right there in my heart. Oh, you know, that's what a gospel meeting is. You don't believe it, but I believe it. It's a worship meeting. Oh, friend, I think that here we're sitting here once on the road to hell, now going to heaven, sin's gone, heaven is our home, amidst the ups and downs of life, the low days and the bright days, the singing and the sighing, the groaning and the joys, amidst all of earth, my friend, thank God for the joy of knowing Christ Jesus can enter the world to save sinners, and I just put my name in there. Albert Holland Fisk. Will you trust him? Tonight, shall we pray?
Our Father, we bow in thy presence and thank thee for the word of God. We bless thee for reminding us of eternity and reminding us, Lord, of the blinding power of the devil, of Satan, the God of this world. And reminding us likewise that God desires that men and women come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Thou hast made it so clear. Father, if we muddle it, forgive us. It's so clear, so plain, so true. And we pray that none might leave without at least asking themselves the question, have I been rescued? Have I been saved? Can I look back to that moment when as a perishing soul, as we were hearing, that the gospel is good news, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We pray that none might leave without getting located tonight, saved or lost. And Father, the result of this meeting, for thy glory and thy praise, will be some soul or souls trusting Christ alone. Answer prayer. Part us with thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just going to sing one verse at the hymn. Thank you for coming. Remember, the meeting's announced every night at the hour of 8 o'clock, short prayer meeting after this. And we trust that you will soon, even this night, come into the blessing of salvation. Number 33, just one verse of this hymn. Verse number 3 of the meeting is concluded. Verse number 3 of hymn number 33, Eternity But Jesus Died.